VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on the News Roundup Friday here today on Crosstalk. We have got many more stories than we can possibly get in the program today. Probably two, three programs of Crosstalk in the volumes of material we have. Our thanks to Sandy for putting together so many stories and getting them all prepared for us here for the broadcast today. Friends, certainly it's going to be a reminder of the times in which we live and the importance for us as believers in Christ to be salt, to be light in this world in which we live. And certainly as a watchman, we are sounding the alert when there's danger that is approaching, and certainly to keep you informed on critical issues that we may certainly know how we ought to live in such a time as this. We're going to begin with a rather breaking news story here from across the nation, a major news story in light of what's happening with the matter of abortion, the Supreme Court leak, which we'll be getting into here as well. But this is out of the state of Louisiana, whereas a Louisiana bill that would make aborting an unborn baby an act of homicide advanced Wednesday in the state house. It passed the House Appropriations Committee in a 7-2 vote, now heads to the full state house for consideration. It's called the Abolition of Abortion in Louisiana Act. It is House Bill 813, sponsored by State Representative Danny McCormick, and recognizes the human personhood of an unborn child at all stages of life, ensures all rights and laws that apply to other human beings include unborn babies. This means aborting an unborn baby would be an act of homicide under the law. It also tries to circumvent potential lawsuits by stating that a judge should be impeached or removed if they block the state from enforcing any part of the law. If it passes, the legislation would go into effect immediately. A statement that came from Mr. McCormick is this. He said, "The taking of a life is murder, and it is illegal. Louisiana law currently fails to provide equal protection for human life. Persons are deemed unworthy of legal protection for no other reason than they are not yet born." So, friends, certainly something to keep your eyes on, something to be praying about. Certainly this, if it makes its way through the Louisiana legislature, no doubt is going to be mirrored in other states as well. At least we can hope that there's going to be the action taken to truly ban abortion here across this land. So that's in Louisiana. It's House Bill number 813, passed the committee 7-2 this very week. Well, there's been a lot going on regarding the leak at the from the U.S. Supreme Court. And looking here at WND.com, Joe Biden responded to questions about a leaked draft opinion from the Supreme Court that, if it becomes official, would throw Roe v. Wade's abortion advocacy entirely. But he may have goofed, because in his dissent on all of this, he actually referred to the unborn baby as a child. Let's listen in to what he had to say.
Roe says what all basic mainstream religions have historically concluded, that the existence of a human life and being is a question. Is it at the moment of conception? Is it 6 months? Is it 6 weeks? Is it quickening, like Aquinas argued? I mean, so the idea that we're going to make a judgment that is going to say that no one can make the judgment to choose to abort a child based on a decision by the Supreme Court, I think goes way overboard.
Yeah, isn't that something about aborting a child? This decision goes way overboard. Interesting indeed, calling the baby a child, you know, coming from one who does not recognize that. And I found it also interesting that he talked about, you know, all the major religions have that big question as when life begins. Can I say this, Mr. President? Just follow the science. Follow the science. Also, it's very interesting that on Wednesday, he reacted to the this leaked draft opinion from the Supreme Court. And he said this is about a lot more than abortion. And then he warned that the MAGA crowd is the most extreme political organization that's existed in recent American history. Let's listen into this clip.
Well, that got struck down. Griswold was thought to be a bad decision by Bork, and my guess is the guy's on the Supreme Court now. What happens if you have a state changes the law saying that children who are LGBTQ can't be in classrooms with other children? Is that legit under the way that the decision is written? What are the next things that are going to be attacked? Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
Isn't that something? The MAGA crowd, the most extreme political that's existed in American history? Well, Western Journal reports on Wednesday, President Biden said abortion was an inerrant right God gave everyone. Hear that? The president of the United States is saying that the killing of the baby in the womb is an inerrant right that God gave everyone. He is the author of life. How can you say that? That is blasphemous. One day later, the Reverend Franklin Graham swiftly debunked that claim. And yesterday, this is a quote from him on Facebook. He said, yesterday, President Joe Biden said the right to an abortion comes from being a child of God. He said, Mr. President, that is just not true. Being a child of God does not give you the right to take the lives of the innocent. Abortion is a sin. Simply put, it is murder, Franklin Graham said. From the Daily Wire, conservative activists and legal experts are calling for the Supreme Court to release its decision on Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization in light of this leaked opinion. Judicial Crisis Network called Monday night's news that the Supreme Court had voted to strike down the landmark decision unprecedented, saying that it merits an unprecedented response, that the court should release its majority opinion as soon as possible. And the outrage, folks, the outrage that is coming. Asked in a walking interview, this is from WND.com, asked in a walking interview her reaction to the leaked opinion indicating the Supreme Court is poised to overturn Roe v. Wade, Elizabeth Warren, senator from Massachusetts, she had a meltdown. She did not mince words. She said she is angry, she's upset, she's determined. Here is what happened as a reporter spoke to her.
How are you feeling?
I am angry.
Angry and upset?
Angry and upset and determined. Mm-hmm. The United States Congress can keep Roe versus Wade the law of the land. They just need to do it.
I've never seen you so angry. You seem to be...
This is what the Republicans have been working toward this day for decades. They have been out there plotting, carefully cultivating these Supreme Court justices so they could have a majority on the bench who would accomplish something that the majority of Americans do not want. 69% of people across this country, red states and blue states, old people and young people, want Roe versus Wade to maintain as the law of the land. We need to do that. And we have a right. Extremists, we've heard enough from the extremists. And we're tired of it.
Thank you. Senator, does this open the door for the constitutional right?
Isn't that amazing? I mean, the anger, the fervor. Liz Warren saying, we've heard enough from the extremists. Now, you tell me, is it extreme to understand the sanctity of human life, to care and nurture for that child, to provide for its well-being? Or is it extreme to put a scissors into the mother's womb and into the skull of that baby and to suction out the brain and collapse the skull in order to and dismember that baby? Folks, in my book, that is extreme. Well, the debate is heating up in Congress and Senate, and Senator Chuck Schumer announced that next week the U.S. Senate is going to be voting on legislation to put into code a woman's right to seek an abortion into federal law. Here's what he said.
For over two decades, Republicans across the country have worked to dismantle Roe. They've worked to take away the rights of women who simply want to make their own choices and not be told by some doctor, some senator, some court justice how to treat their bodies. Republican politicians across the country are passing laws telling the women of America, your body, our choice. So much for the party of limited government. And now with the Republican court on the verge of tearing down five decades of precedent, Republicans suddenly don't want to talk about their complicity in this effort. You ask them about, do they support repealing Roe v. Wade? They change the subject. What does that say? It says they know they're on the wrong side of history and on the wrong side of the American people. And their 30-year effort, they now wish to go underground because they're actually afraid in certain ways that it might succeed. All week, we've seen Republicans try to duck, dodge, and dip from their responsibility for bringing Roe to the brink of total repeal. This is about to change. Next week, the U.S. Senate is going to vote on legislation to codify a woman's right to seek an abortion into federal law. I intend to file cloture on this vital legislation Monday, which would set up a vote for Wednesday. Republicans will have two choices. They can own the destruction of women's rights, or they can reverse course and work to prevent the damage. Count me as skeptical that they'll do the latter. Republicans have been on the wrong side of history and the wrong side of America. A poll just released today from Data for Progress showed voters want Roe to stay the law of the land by a 2-to-1 margin. Democrats, independents, and 35% of Republicans believe we should keep Roe in place. Next week's vote will be one of the most important we take, not only this session, but in this century. This is not an abstract exercise. It's as real, it's as urgent as it gets.
Friends, this is coming before the U.S. Senate next week, and Monday filing cloture and plans to have a vote on Wednesday. May I give you the phone number to your U.S. senators who will be, he's going to be forcing them to cast a vote on this issue? The number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. That's to the Senate switchboard. And you can ask for your senator by name or tell them what state you're from. They'll connect you to your senator's office. Or you may go to Senate.gov, and find out the senators. You can click on state. You'll have direct numbers to their offices. But filing a cloture vote on Monday and then Wednesday having the Senate vote is his plan at this point. That is the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who, by the way, he talked about telling the woman, you know, that they what they have to do with their own bodies. I thought they were called human birthing persons, you know, because, you know, the big debate is, can a man have a baby? And that's what the LGBT crowd and Planned Parenthood type crowds are saying, but he forgot to call them human birthing persons in stating that. Now, also talking about this 50 years of precedent, you know, 1973 to the present. Well, folks, what happened before 1973 when this country was formed? You know, back, let's go back to 1776. And so was it not Roe v. Wade that destroyed the precedent? And so who is on the wrong side of human history? So Chuck Schumer, again, planning to have that vote next week. And Nancy Pelosi is determined to advance this forward as well. You can reach out to your senators at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And the House member at 225-3121. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is there any evidence for Atlantis?
Chris, Atlantis was the mythical city which was submerged under the ocean. People living in the city adapted and finally evolved the ability to live underwater. Of course, this myth has no basis in fact. Humans could not live underwater, even if they swam in the water for generations. Nor have archaeological remains of such a mythical city ever been found. But there may be some basis in fact. The Bible says that there was a great civilization which was totally overwhelmed by water. This was, of course, the great flood of Noah's day. I wonder if the legend of Atlantis is really a faded memory of the flood. Even more interesting is that almost every culture around the world has the legend of the flood. I think all of this goes back to Genesis for truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a Friday News Roundup today, and we thank you for joining us, keeping you informed on critical issues. And one of those issues is the plan by the Senate Majority Leader to codify Roe v. Wade by an act of Congress. And his plan is to do that next week. Matter of fact, there are those that are pushing to pack the Supreme Court to abolish the filibuster after this draft of the Supreme Court opinion was leaked. Fox News reporting that prominent Democrats have demanded radical changes to our system of government in the wake of this, from packing the court to abolishing the Senate filibuster. Matter of fact, tweeted out from Elizabeth Warren, right-wing extremists have hijacked the Supreme Court of the United States. Friends, you know what they would do? This would not ban abortion, sadly. Rather, it turns it back to the states. And you see what's going on in the states at this point. States that would be a haven for those who want to protect life, and other states that would be certainly a death chamber for the unborn baby in the womb. Also, we have this tweeted out from Senator Ed Markley. He said, a stolen, illegitimate, and far right-wing Supreme Court majority appears set to destroy the right to an abortion, an essential right which protects the health, safety, and freedom of millions of Americans. Really? Is that how we killed 67 million babies in the womb? And he calls that life? There's no other recourse. We must expand the court, he later added. Now is the time to add four more seats to the court. Restore balance. What's your understanding of balance? Restore balance and protect the right to an abortion. Whatever happened to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that we saw in the Declaration of Independence? Adam Schiff said, I don't care how the draft leaked. That's a sideshow. What I care about is that a small number of conservative justices who lied about their plans to the Senate intend to deprive millions of women of reproductive care. This is not health care, ladies and gentlemen. Codifying Roe isn't enough. He said we must expand the court. Ilhan Omar, a member of the squad, called for both packing the court and abolishing the Senate filibuster, the rule that requires 60 votes or more to proceed to a final Senate vote on most legislation. She tweeted out, expand the court, abolish the filibuster, pass the Women's Health Protection Act to codify Roe v. Wade into law, she tweeted. Epoch Times says a leaked draft indicates that five justices agreed, at least as of the February date, in deciding the Dobbs versus Jackson to undo the Roe v. Wade decision. The John Roberts, the Chief Justice, has asked the FBI to investigate and has put individuals into place to do that as well. This is from USA Today. The investigation of this leak will be led by a U.S. Army attorney and West Point grad who recently was appointed as the court's Chief Security Officer and Facilities Administrator. Colonel Gail Curley became the court's 11th Marshal of the Court in 2021, a post in which she oversees roughly 260 employees, including the Supreme Court Police. She came to the court after heading the National Security Law Division in the Office of the Judge Advocate General, which trains U.S. and foreign judge advocates in international law and its applications to military operations. From Todd Starnes, former President Barack Obama, his wife, have called for national protest if the Supreme Court does, in fact, throw out Roe v. Wade. Folks, he's right back to community organizing and never left his blood. They said in a joint statement today, millions of Americans woke up fearing that their essential freedoms under the Constitution were at risk. What about the freedom of the unborn child, ladies and gentlemen? If the Supreme Court ultimately decides to overturn the landmark case Roe v. Wade, that it will not only reverse nearly 50 years of precedent, he said, but it will relegate the most intensely personal decision someone can make to the whims of politicians and ideologues, the Obamas added. 50 years of precedent? What about the nearly 200 years of precedents before that? The former president called for the pro-baby killing crowd to rise up and protest, Todd Starnes said. We're asking you to join with the activists who've been sounding the alarm on this issue for years and act. Stand with them at a local protest, volunteering with them on a campaign, the president said. Join with them in urging Congress to codify Roe into law and vote alongside them or on before November 8th and in every other election. Because in the end, if we want judges who will protect all and not just some of our rights, then we've got to elect officials committed to doing the same, the statement concluded. By the way, did you know, according to CNSNews.com, you know who supported the idea to let states overturn Roe v. Wade? Yeah, it was Joe Biden. Very interesting. Yeah, 26 states are likely to restrict abortion, according to the Guttmacher Institute, including 22 with what they call anti-abortion laws that would be reinstated or triggered as soon as Roe falls. The 22 states, New York Post reported, are Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. Another four Republican-controlled states on the verge of passing laws restricting abortion, Indiana, Montana, Nebraska, and Florida. The Post reported that in the wake of the Supreme Court leak, lawmakers in several states are planning to propose more restrictions on abortions. Folks, let's do away with it. And that's what they're trying to do in Louisiana right now with this abolition bill that passed the Appropriations Committee 7-2, House Bill number 813. National Review is saying Senator Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema will not vote to abolish the legislative filibuster, both lawmakers said on Tuesday. Well, they've installed massive fences around the Supreme Court building. Non-scalable fencing around the court. Public appearances have been canceled by some of the justices, we understand, and other things are taking place. LifeNews.com, pro-abortion activists turned violent across the country Tuesday. Police officers injured, buildings vandalized in Los Angeles, and pro-life advocates were spat upon and shoved in Washington, D.C. Los Angeles police said abortion activists threw rocks and bottles at police officers, and one officer was transported to the hospital by ambulance for treatment. You know, I guess there's just no second thought. If you've got the will to kill a baby in the womb, what is it? You know, so what it is? What's the big deal about violence in our cities? Harm the police officers, do the vandalism. You see, it's all about violence. Whether it's violence against baby in the womb. If that's okay, then what's wrong with these other things? During another protest in D.C., a Daily Wire reporter witnessed abortion activists shoving, spitting on, and screaming obscenities at a small group of pro-life advocates who were counter-protesting. One pro-abortion protester jeered, "Where is your God now?" My. WND.com, left-wing activist groups are calling for protest at the home of what they call six extremist Supreme Court justices. Under the moniker Ruth Sentis, the activists have published the purported home addresses of Justices Amy Coney Barrett, John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Clarence Thomas, and Neil Gorsuch, FoxNews.com reported, saying, quote, "Our 6-3 extremist Supreme Court routinely issues rulings that hurt women, radical minorities, LGBTQ plus, and immigrant rights. We must rise up to force accountability using a diversity of tactics." The group is planning protests at the homes on May 11th. You know what else is going on? Yeah, this Mother's Day, protesting at churches. Pro-abortion groups are planning protests at churches on Mother's Day this Sunday, reports Newsmax. The liberal group Ruth Sentis challenged people to demonstrate at churches. Frontpagemag.com. Democrats and their affiliated outside groups have raised more than $7 million since this report was leaked from the Supreme Court on Roe v. Wade. And Levi's. Yeah, the clothing company Levi's promises to help employees get out-of-state abortions, reports LifeSiteNews.com, indicating clothing company Levi Strauss & Company reminded employees in a statement Wednesday that it will help them have abortions, even if it means paying for them to travel out of state. The announcement came in light of a leaked draft opinion from the Supreme Court that would use the Dobbs versus Jackson case concerning Mississippi's limits on abortion at 15 weeks to reverse Roe v. Wade entirely. The company has a long history of supporting abortion and same-sex marriage, including selling jeans with the pro-LGBT ribbon on them and donating money to train homosexual activists outside of the U.S. The Levi Strauss Foundation donates money to abortion groups, including Planned Parenthood, says the article from LifeSiteNews.com. Very interesting indeed. Well, folks, there's so many other issues going on in the news as well. Let's cover some more here. At least 175 House Republicans are demanding, this is from Washington Examiner, demanding answers from Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas about his department's new disinformation governance board as he struggles to defend the group's creation and the choice of, Nina Jakowicz as the first director. They are concerned about her appointment to head the board in part because she has on several occasions displayed questionable judgment on matters of disinformation and freedom of speech, the letter said. The creation of this Disinformation Governance Board is an alarming attempt by the Biden administration to use the department as a political tool, said Franklin. Led by Senator Tom Cotton, several GOP senators introduced legislation Tuesday to prohibit the use of federal funds and financing the Biden administration's recently announced Disinformation Governance Board, also reports the Washington Examiner. I wonder how far that will get in Nancy Pelosi's house. Mayorkas, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, admitted that he fared poorly in communicating the purpose of the department's newly created Disinformation Governance Board that critics have lambasted as a threat to free speech. No, this is all about, the disinformation that's happening in countries that are having illegals come to the U.S. Oh, friends, earlier he talked about the domestic terrorists here within our lands. Oh, another issue here. This is from the Gateway Pundit. U.S. officials on Tuesday restated their recommendation that Americans wear masks on planes, trains, and buses, despite a court ruling last month that struck down a national mask mandate on public transportation. Americans age 2 and older should wear a well-fitting mask while on public transportation, including in airports and train stations, the CDC recommended, citing the current spread of COVID and projections of future COVID-19 trends. Well, last month, the TSA announced it will no longer be enforcing the mask mandate after the federal judge declared it unlawful, the Biden administration appealing that. Newsmax.com tells us that Elon Musk expected to become Twitter's temporary CEO after closing on the $44 billion takeover of the social media firm. On that same topic, Independent Sentinel says that George Soros, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama staffers in European governments are behind the anti-Musk campaign pressuring big corporations to boycott Twitter. A group of 26 hard-left activist organizations and NGOs signed a letter to companies who advertise on Twitter warning them to reconsider if Elon Musk makes changes. The letter came from George Soros, David Brock, Media Matters, Hit Squad. Every single signatory was a hard-left radical group, reports Independent Sentinel. They're using the same technique that they used to attack Fox News, Fox hosts, and other conservatives, although Musk is not a conservative. The Daily Mail reports Musk himself responded to the letter, asked who funded them. The signatories claim that Musk will further toxify our information ecosystem. Our information ecosystem and be a direct threat to public safety. They wrote, Twitter risks becoming a cesspool of misinformation with your brand attached. Musk replied, sunlight is the best disinfectant. Well, friends, there is much taking place as well, and some are wondering if this whole matter of the leak that took place from the Supreme Court was to sideline information about 2,000 mules, a new film, a documentary from Dinesh D'Souza. And we'll have some more information on that right after the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, we thank you for tuning in on a daily basis to stay informed on critical issues and a number of important topics coming up again next week here in the program. We trust you'll tell somebody else about the information you learn on Crosstalk. We do have a daily email that goes out. Did you know that? With information and a link to the audio for each day's broadcast, you can sign up at crosstalkamerica.com. No cost, just available there. Crosstalkamerica.com. Put your email address in and that daily email going out to you, and stay informed on critical matters. From WND.com, yes, an informant from Arizona detailed the D'Souza's new documentary film, 2,000 Mules, how she participated in an illegal, alleged illegal ballot harvesting operation during the 2020 general election. According to the movie, the scheme took place not only in Arizona, but also Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. These are all states that former President Donald Trump won in 2016, but flipped to Democrat President Joe Biden in 2020. The vote integrity group, True the Vote, worked with D'Souza on 2,000 Mules. A mule is a term that's used in the movie for those who repeatedly picked up batches of ballots and placed them in drop boxes. True the Vote used cell phone geo-tracking data to identify people who went to 10 or more drop boxes and 5 or more visits to non-governmental organizations working on voter turnout during the 2020 general election. The mules followed a pattern of repeatedly going to drop box locations and back to offices of non-governmental organizations, which allegedly ballots were being collected. The movie called these locations stash houses. The mules averaged 38 visits during the elections nationwide, with an average of 5 ballots per visit. That's 380,000 illegal votes, D'Souza says in 2,000 Mules. In Arizona, True the Vote identified 200 mules who averaged 20 drop box visits with 5 ballots per drop. Allegedly, this resulted 20,000 ballots being illegally cast. D'Souza noted that that more than Biden's 10,457 vote margin of victory. Using the mule threshold definition of 10 or more visits to drop boxes, Trump would also have won Georgia and Pennsylvania, but according to this, still lost in Michigan and Wisconsin. That's the article, WND.com. WND.com also telling us that the Watchdog Governmental Accountability Office concluded in an investigation that CDC and FDA officials suppressed scientific findings related to the COVID-19 pandemic due to political pressure. Whistleblowers who spoke with GAO investigators said they did not speak up prior to the investigation because they feared retaliation. In February, unnamed CDC officials told the New York Times that the agency had withheld most of its data regarding COVID-19 for fear that it would be misinterpreted by critics. Last summer, two top FDA scientists resigned amid changes in the agency, or rather charges that the agency was being pressured by the Biden administration to make decisions based on politics. The GAO, in a separate report published in February, said the CDC, the FDA, the National Institutes of Health, and the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response were all at high risk for fraud, mismanagement, and abuse, citing a lack of leadership and preparedness during the COVID pandemic and other crises. Also, from WND.com, amid a variety of reports on an unusual increase in cardiac events among young people, A peer-reviewed MIT study of data in highly vaccinated Israel found COVID vaccines were significantly associated with a 25% spike in emergency medical services for heart problems in 16 to 39-year-olds. During the vaccine rollout period for that age group from January to May of 2021, there was a statistically significant increase of over 25% for emergency calls regarding cardiac arrest and acute coronary syndrome. While not establishing causal relationships, the findings raise concerns regarding vaccine-induced undetected severe cardiovascular side effects and underscore the already established causal relationship between vaccines and myocarditis, a frequent cause of unexpected cardiac arrest in young individuals, the study said. And National Review telling us that the FDA limited its emergency authorization of Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine because of the risk of blood clots, the agency said on Thursday. Let's go to another matter here. Yes, from LifeNews.com, Andrew Cuomo issued an order in March of 2020 that ultimately killed at least 15,000 nursing home residents. The list of victims included Daniel Arbini, whose father was in a home that was flooded with COVID patients thanks to Cuomo's reckless order, putting them in senior living facilities instead of other locations that could have protected elderly people. Now Arbini, whose father was a Korean War veteran, has filed a wrongful death suit against Cuomo. His father died after catching COVID-19 in a Brooklyn nursing home, and now Arbini is behind a class action lawsuit against the former governor. Okay, let's see. Oklahoma GOP governor signed an abortion bill modeled after the Texas law that allows civil enforcement. It's a heartbeat bill, Senate Bill 1503. Also, Governor Stitt signed a law, life at conception bill, making a felony to kill an unborn baby at any gestational age except in cases of, quote, medical emergency. I wonder what that all entails. Daily Wire, Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger warned that the semiconductor shortage will last until 2024. Certain manufacturing tools remain unavailable, which threatens to constrain chip-making capacity, the executive told CNBC. That's part of the reason we believe the overall semiconductor shortage will now drift into 2024 from our earlier estimates in 2023, just because the shortages have now hit equipment and some of those factory ramps will be more challenge, Gelsinger explained. Well, another Biden record, reports the Gateway Pundit. The U.S. trade deficit surged to over $109 billion in March. It's the first time ever that the trade deficit went over $100 billion. From townhall.com, as the midterm elections fast approach, Democrats have lost a key demographic that they relied on in 2020, college-educated men. The biggest losses from the Democratic Party since the last election have been from this group amid the overall decline since inauguration of 19 points in support of Biden by those under age 35. Well, student debt tops $1.7 trillion as racked up by merely 13% of the population due to overpriced higher ed. But Speaker Pelosi has said that the congressional approval is required before debt is forgiven. But the Biden plan is apparently to try and buy millions of votes with a waiver of $10,000 per student. Already in default is 8% of this debt, which is not dischargeable in bankruptcy due to federal legislation that Biden supported in 2005. Is this a vote-buying scheme? Erase student debt up to $10,000 per student in order to liken his appearance and approval likened by those in that demographic? LifeSite News, a very disturbing story here. The liberal Republican governor of Vermont, Phil Scott, has signed an assisted suicide law that will allow telemedicine killings by physicians. Signed on April 27th, the new assisted suicide legislation will allow physicians to prescribe remotely medication to self-administered for the purpose of hastening the patient's death. Patients can make requests in the physician's physical presence or by telemedicine if the physician determines that the use of telemedicine to be clinically appropriate for medication to be self-administered for the purpose of hastening the patient's death. A physician must still physically examine the patient, but it does not have to be the same one prescribing their life-ending drugs. Very interesting. There's a Canadian fast food chain now that is serving burritos, wraps, soups, salads, and frozen yogurt. But in a move to reduce labor costs, the Toronto Star reported last week that they have just introduced a new in-store ordering system that will connect its customers to cashiers outside the country, most of them located in Nicaragua, where workers are paid about $3.75 an hour. Isn't that something? You order your fast food, you're giving it to somebody on a screen? And they take your order and get it to the restaurant there? CBN News reporting. Conservatives have officially parted ways with the United Methodist Church after years of debate on same-sex marriage and the ordination of openly homosexual pastors. The new denomination is called the Global Methodist Church. Took effect on Sunday following a five-day meeting with UMC bishops. Church members have been at odds for years, with some members in the U.S. leading the call for full inclusion of LGBT people within the denomination. Other mainline Protestant denominations have embraced gay-friendly practices. UMC still bans them through acts of defiance by pro-LGBT clergy have multiplied. Many have performed same-sex weddings. Others have come out as gay or lesbian from the pulpit. Well, differences came to the head in February of 2019 at a conference in St. Louis where delegates voted 438 to 384 for a proposal called the Traditional Plan, which strengthens bans on LGBT-inclusive practices. A majority of U.S.-based delegates opposed that plan and favored LGBT-friendly options, but they were outvoted by U.S. conservatives teamed with them, most of them delegates from Methodist strongholds in Africa and the Philippines. Well, they have now finally split over LGBTQ policies. Conservatives officially launch what's called the Global Church. And let's see, also coming to us, this from PJ Media, the Georgia High School Association had an executive committee meeting Wednesday. The board did the best thing it could possibly do, weighed on the transgender athlete controversy. Axios Atlanta reporter Emma Hurt barely hit her bias with a headline that reads, Georgia Association bans trans athletes from high school teams that match gender identity. The association that governs athletics and activities for more than 450 public and private member high schools, schools voted to change its bylaws to limit a student's gender to the sex assigned on their birth certificate. Interesting. Well, friends, we're going to open our phone lines here. If you would like to comment on, we've talked on so many different issues here today. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Interesting story from the Christian Institute. Oh, this is in the UK. The controversial trans activist group Mermaids is under fire for advising men who claim to be women to call 999 if they are asked to leave female-only spaces like changing rooms and restrooms. In a help sheet section headed What to Do If Someone Asks You to Leave a Facility, it says, if you're at risk of harm, try and get somewhere safe and call someone you trust or the emergency services if you feel comfortable doing so on 999. That would be an emergency number in the UK. The LGBT activist group published its help sheet after the Equality and Human Rights Commission clarified that men who identify as women can be legitimately excluded from female-only spaces. Jen Psaki leaving the White House in just a few days, replaced by a lesbian living with a CNN gal, reports WND.com. Jen Psaki soon leaving her job as a White House spokeswoman, apparently to become a commentator at MSNBC. So with Joe Biden, his pick, Karine Jean-Pierre as her replacement, and she comes with a long leftist history of work for MoveOn.org, the ACLU, MSNBC, also fills out quota demands in two categories. She's LGBT and black. Daily Mail reported that she'd been deputy press secretary for Biden, but will take over the top spot when Psaki leaves on May the 13th. And Jean-Pierre, 44, is the first black female White House press secretary and the first openly LGBT person there. The report said she lives in D.C. with her partner, CNN journalist Suzanne Malvo. Well, friends, we're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk, and we will come back to take your calls here on Crosstalk. And our number, jot it down, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. So we'll be back in just 1 minute taking your calls. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. It's a news roundup day here today. And by the way, you can check out crosstalkamerica.com. Sign up for the daily email that goes out with a short summary and link to the day's broadcast. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On my radio show the other day, I played the audio clip of a news report from Channel 2 in Atlanta, Georgia. It was a news report from 2010. And I stress, it was from 2010. And what were they reporting on? The individuals tied to terrorist organizations and terror states coming over the border of the United States, coming from countries like Yemen, Iraq, Sudan, Pakistan. My friends, there are overwhelming reports of Iranian terrorists and Hezbollah individuals coming to America. One way through Venezuela. Venezuela is in a massive alliance with China and Russia. My friends, the terror cells are here. Thousands of terror cells are here in the United States. What I'm telling you is not to scare you, but to warn you, the enemies, foreign and domestic, that are here.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and if this is your time to comment on these or other current event stories, here by calling 800-733-9829. We're going to begin in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Kevin, you're on the air.
Okay, Jim, thanks a lot. I just want to send this out to all Christians over this ruling that's possibly going to get overchanged with Roe versus Wade. You got a spiritual Pandora's box that got opened in 1973, and it's evil. And the murder will continue now in different ways. But here's where it help is. It's in chapter 18 in the book of Luke, where it talks about prayer and unjust judges and where things are going to happen. And you only have to read it to about verse 8, where I will tell you that he will avenge them quickly. Yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find, do you think, faith on the earth? It's in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, over this whole issue. Because people that want to keep this rolling, this is a Pandora's box of evil that got opened in 1973, and to help Christians keep the faith and keep praying, because people are going to have to wake up to what evil Roe versus Wade really is, and it's all about murder.
Kevin, thank you for your call here today. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, the Democrats keep pretending they're for women when in fact they have murdered 30 million women in the womb. Think about that,
yeah.
Plus or minus 30 million. Also, they pretend to take the high ground, the high moral ground, when in fact they have no moral compass. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for your call. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Your reaction, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go next to Alice in Arkansas. You're on the air, Alice.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My heart is broken because the Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, America has forgotten God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. All I could say is repent. Everybody that says I'm a Christian, please make sure. And those that are not, please repent. I believe judgment is coming to America. May God have mercy on us.
Amen. Thank you, Alice, for your call here today. Truly troubling times. May God have mercy on us. And that, you know, that was really a message from Sam Rohr here yesterday on Crosstalk as we were talking on National Day of Prayer and the fact that we have forgotten God. And we are seeing the fruit of that as well with all the pain and destruction that's taken place not only here in the United States, but around the world as well. Certainly troubling times. And Paul warned that to Timothy. I know I bring this up often, but he said perilous times will come and describe those times. But he told Timothy to remember the unfeigned faith that was in his mother and his grandmother, to hang on to those things, and then remember that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He reminded of them. God's Word tells us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And we need to remember that. And that's what needs to be proclaimed from our pulpits here today. Preach the Word, Paul told Timothy. And pastors, we encourage you to be faithful proclaimers of God's Word without compromise. Without compromise. Preach through God's Word and from cover to cover. Eddie is next in Glasgow, Kentucky. Eddie, you're on the air.
Jim, thank you for taking my call. America's being politically steamrolled. We're going to lose even our voice. It's just simple. This disinformation czar or whatever they want to call it. That's all it's going to be. Instead of a mandated mask, it's going to be mandated duct tape. I'm glad there's a place called heaven. Thank God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Doing a great job up there, Brother Jim.
Well, keep us in your prayers, Eddie. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Linda from McKenzie Park, Illinois. You're on the air.
Yeah, McChesney Park.
McChesney, thank you.
I didn't know the abortion stuff was getting so vicious. And just all the news headlines that you mentioned today, it reminds me of that song that we sang in high school. It's time to pray to the God who watches over us. It's time for all America to pray.
Yeah, indeed.
That's my comment.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate that. Indeed, to prayer, repentance, and to remember God. Sometimes we, as Sam talked about yesterday, we just want this magic pill, you know, this magic bullet. But it is prayer and it is repentance, and it's remembering God. He warned the children of Israel that when you get into that land, don't forget, don't forget who brought you here. And, friends, we need to recognize, too, the prosperity, even as a nation. Everything we have comes from God. Scripture says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The nation is blessed whose God is the Lord. We are also told that it is righteousness that exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Friends, would you characterize the United States of America as being righteous? Look what's going on. Look at the multitudes of babies that have been aborted, and we have sanctioned it. And look at the angst that is happening across the nation now, because the court is saying, no, this goes back to the states, a states issue, not to be sanctioned by the federal government. It's not in our Constitution. That right is not delegated to us. It goes back to the states. And look at the uproar that's going on. No, we need to march around the homes of the justices of the U.S. Supreme Court. No, we need to disrupt speeches. No, we need to do vandalism. We need to harm the police in all of this. Our voices will be heard. It reminds me of those that were marching around the homes in Sodom and Gomorrah as well, does it not? As we see that what was going on and God's judgment about to fall upon those communities. And friends, we're seeing evidence of those very things right before our very eyes. How long will it take before we wake up to the times in which we live? How long will it take before we understand the motive, or rather the directive that we have to be ambassadors for Christ, to be salt, to be light in this world in which we live? How long will it take before the church recognizes its position that it has, not to be a compromise in all of these areas, but to stand firm upon the principles of God's word? We understand what marriage is. We understand when life begins. One final call. This is from Ohio. Jim, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just had one comment. The abortion law is being sacrificed because they no longer need it because they have other ways of population control. And the women say, my body, my choice. They can't force people to get a vaccine because they can use that same line, mm-hmm. my body, my choice. Yeah. Therefore, Roe v. Wade has to go because, in the end, the agenda is forced vaccines. So if my body, my choice works for abortion, it will work for the vaccine. Therefore, it has to go.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Yeah. Well, it's a double standard there, isn't it? Thank you for the call here, Jim, and to all of you taking time to call in on Crosstalk. Yeah, difficult times in which we live, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing church this Lord's Day. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.